Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Hello, this is Stephen O'Doherty. Pope Francis recently made his first papal visit to Egypt, a brave step given the frequent violence in that country, especially directed at Christians. In 2017 alone, we've already seen the bombing by ISIS of two Coptic Orthodox churches. That was on Palm Sunday. Those bombs killed 45 people and injured hundreds. The visit to Egypt was brief but deeply symbolic. Pope Francis described himself as a pilgrim of peace, proclaiming the humanity of all people. Father Patrick McInerney is a Columban missionary priest, and he's director of the Columban Institute in Australia and coordinator of the Centre for Christian-Muslim Relations.
His trip had several dimensions.
Yes.
It was, first of all, that ecumenical one. So it was a sign of solidarity and support and being with the Coptic Christian community in what has been a very difficult and trying time for them. And we have to acknowledge that real and genuine grievance that they have and the suffering that they experience. So that would be one dimension of his visit. A second dimension would be the interfaith one, that he was also visiting the Muslim community, and he addressed a peace conference at Al-Azhar University, which is sort of the leading, perhaps most prestigious Sunni university in the Muslim world. And combining those two was, he came as a pilgrim of peace, and so it was for the common humanity of all peoples. And as well, he also visited the civil authority, so it was a diplomatic visit. So in fact, there were the four features of his visit.
And how is the Pope received generally in that part of the Muslim world?
I'm sure he's been received very well. One of the points of his visit, which as you say came a week after these terrible bombings in the Coptic Cathedral, that he came and he, in his travels, he was in an ordinary car. He wasn't in an armored vehicle. So he was showing a fearlessness and a solidarity and a vulnerability of solidarity with the people in their actual lived situation. So that was very important. That was some commentators have noted that, you know, the fearlessness of his presence among the people. He was open and genuine.
Well, I think even when his predecessor came to Australia, he was in an armoured car, wasn't he?
Oh, I'm not sure. I presume that would probably be the case, because it's normal protocol for heads of state in all sorts of places. But
is this a sign of how different this is? Is it a sign of how different this Pope is?
Well, he's consistently travelled in an ordinary car and a small car, and he's not pretentious or showy in any way.
Recently, we spoke with the Coptic Church locally.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying to me that they, you know, draw strength from praying for their persecutors. That shows an amazing amount of grace that many of us couldn't muster, I suspect.
It is a wonderful example of, you know, Christian faith, the classic Christian epitome, I suppose, is love your enemy.
Yes.
You know, in the Gospels, Jesus says, you know, it's easy to, you know, love those who love you and to be good to those who are good to you, but the real challenge is to love your enemy. Now, in saying that, I just want to add a rider. In no way am I making the statement that Muslims are our enemies. Very much the opposite. We can be and must be friends and brothers. And that's actually one of the points that Pope Francis made very clearly, that we are sisters and brothers together in our common humanity and also in our common origins from God, our common journey together, and our common destiny. And he's very, very clear on this, that we are brothers and sisters. And we must build this civilization of love, of personal encounter, and of dialogue, of building relationships, of working together for peace.
Now, yes, indeed. Now, the critics of this type of engagement would say, oh, you're moving to some sort of syncretism or a universalism. I take it that's not in any way the intention of of either side of these dialogues, or indeed the dialogue that you're part of here in Australia?
Absolutely not. I mean, part of dialogue, an essential part of it, is to be genuine, to be authentic to one's own tradition, and to encounter the other in their otherness. So any type of syncretizing and blending and molding and blurring differences, it just doesn't help in the long term. It just creates confusion. We have to be strong in our respective identities, but reach across our differences based on a profound respect for the human dignity of the other and the ways that God is working in their lives, and hope that they also reciprocate to us, that they respect our integrity. So yes, we make doctrinal statements that differ and that are incompatible, our relationship in terms of, or our confession of faith rather, in terms of the Trinity, of the role and nature of Jesus Christ as second person of the Blessed Trinity, as universal Lord and Savior. Now, obviously, people of other religions do not share those Christian convictions, but I believe it's precisely because we have different convictions that we can share and engage with each other, not by blurring those differences, but by discovering how they actually impel us to engage with the other.
On this program, Father Patrick, we like to ask people, where do you find your source of hope? So in a world in which we do still have daily, almost daily reminders of enmity between peoples, where do you look for hope?
Well, I find hope in the goodness and decency of the people that I meet. I can think of Muslim friends that I meet, and they are just good people. And that really is the whole point of this, I think, that the personal encounter, when you meet face-to-face, then the stereotypes and the fears and the suspicions and the Islamophobic types of thing which are generated sometimes by media, you know, by sensationalist reporting and by one-sided reporting, it creates a stereotype that affects all of us. But when we meet face-to-face, then we actually get to know someone as a person. They have a name. It's Muhammad or Ali or Fatima or Miriam. And it's no longer that stereotype. And that's an important part of getting to know one another and breaking down those fears and suspicions.
If there's any country in the world that can do it, it ought to be us.
Yes. And by and large, we actually do it pretty well. And could I just add one other little point?
Please.
That I think is very relevant. In the last week, as we've talked, we've had Pope Francis coming to Egypt. Nearly 800 years ago, St. Francis of Assisi came to Egypt during the height of the Fifth Crusade. And he and his companion crossed the no man's land between the two armies. And he spent some days in the court of the Sultan in conversation, in dialogue with him and with his council, with his court. Now, this is an historic example in a time of war when two men of faith came together and met face to face. So I think it's lovely that 800 years later,
yes,
Pope Francis has come from Italy to Egypt.
Yes.
And, you know, bears the name of Francis.
Of Francis.
And he's had face-to-face encounter. And you can see that embrace between himself and the Sheikh. And that's a real model and example for all of us, how we need to reach out across the barriers that seem to impede us and actually embrace one another, get to know one another, and to work together in common causes for peace and for the good of humanity.
You make a great point. Father Patrick, thank you very much for being with us on Open House.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for providing the opportunity.